Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song and shout for joy, you who are never in labor. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 1. Greetings and welcome to the Let's Talk Podcast. The Let's Talk Podcast is where we seek to have conversations through the very lenses of Christ's eyes. And today, I am so happy and delighted to have my co-host, my brother, my friend, Simiu. He is signaling that he wants to say hi. I will give him this one chance to greet you.
Listener Steve is lying. I didn't give the smoke signal. I am Emmanuel Simiu. So much delighted to be here with us. We've missed you and we are glad to be back. We can't wait to get into this. Steve, are you excited like I am?
Yes, I'm very excited to have you here and to get to talk about this. What song is this barren woman supposed to sing? The Lord tells them, the Lord says, sing, barren woman. It is very mysterious, and it at first glance may look confusing because these Israelites are in exile. Such that you can make a stark comparison between the great promise or the incredible promise that God made to them, that you will be blessed, you will be a nation. The promise he made to Abraham, I believe it is in Genesis chapter 12, to where they are currently. The reality of the situation against the promise looks very stark and looks very dark. And you wonder, is the Lord really serious in his instruction to sing? Yeah. So in this 84th episode, we shall see the ways in which we can rejoice or we can praise God through the storms.
And we shall also learn what kind of song we ought to sing here. Mm. And what is the motivation to sing such a song?
Yeah.
Knowing, as you said, this is a very skewed circumstance.
Mm.
You know, you're barren and you need children.
Mm.
But then how do you sing out loud? You know, how do you rejoice?
Mm.
What is the object of our rejoicing? How do we keep praising God and rejoicing God in the face of vexations, of tumult, of every other thing that is negative?
Mm.
Yeah, so for a few minutes, we are going to do that.
Mm. Yeah, thank you. And the barrenness here, just to give some context, is that Israel, as a nation, was at the verge of being eliminated. That its culture, its religion, its people were coming very close to disappearing because they were in exile.
Yeah.
They were being oppressed. They were taken out of where they had belonged and into a foreign land. And yet the Lord comes and tells them that you ought to sing. And somewhere in verse 4 of this chapter, it is recorded that they were afraid. They were humiliated. They felt disgraced. They felt as if the Lord had failed them. In a way, the world was laughing at them, that this nation that God called his own are now under our rule and under our dominion. What can the Lord do?
You know, primarily, the nation of Israel was not a nation like any other.
Sure.
If anything, this is the church that in the New Testament is called the Jews. This is the church that Christ ministered to physically. Christ was with them. Christ preached with them. Christ lived amongst them. And so it was a very, 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 very big church. We would say... this is part of the nobles, if we were part of the kingdoms,
yeah?
These were part of the noble men, because they interacted one-on-one physically with the King of all glory. And it was a theocratic nation. They knew God. They had seen what the Lord had done. Nations were vexed because of what the Lord had done for Israel. I remember crossing the sea, providence through the wilderness, the walls of Jericho, just big stuff, big stuff, a big God, and how? How on earth could such a nation now go down in despair, and now they are in exile? A culture shift. You remember the time of Daniel, where now King Nebuchadnezzar is building up something, and everyone who is there should worship it. And primarily they have been worshiping Christ. Now, how is the shift between having God physically and now having to respond to the rule of a man? And how do they remain faithful towards the object of Christ?
Sure, those are the many questions that we also do have when we face such kind of situations. That what persuasion is there? Is there any motivation to sing out to the Lord, to shout for joy, and to burst into song? You may actually look like a crazy man because the reality of your situation and your response to it, they do not go in line or in tandem. I think similarly, even in the Gospels, as Christ was with his disciples, some would call it the floating pulpit. At a certain point, he tells his disciple to enter a boat and to go to the other city. And so while he is in that boat, it is in Mark chapter 4. He says, "Let us go over to the other side," leaving the crowd behind him. They took him along just as he is, just as he was in the boat. And then you are told a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And then the disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And so this may actually have been the same situation that the Israelites were in. That in a point where you're in exile, in a point where you feel the Lord had forgotten you, to come and ask the Lord the question, "Don't you care?" To question the Lord's intentions and Christ's intentions. And so in Isaiah chapter 54, the confidence that God gives to the Israelites through the prophet Isaiah is this, that in verse 5 it is written, "For your maker is your husband, the Lord Almighty is his name, the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, and he is called the God of all the earth." That in seeking to give them a sense of confidence, in seeking to assure them, he points them to his own character. That "I am your maker, I know your origin, I am your husband, I will provide, I will protect, I will sustain, I am the Lord Almighty, no one and nothing can defeat me, and I am God of all the earth." That everything that you see happening right now, no, I'm in control. That is the confidence. The confidence is in who I am. For your Lord is your maker. He's the Lord Almighty. He's your Redeemer. He is able to buy you back.
Yeah, he is able to ransom you. And such that we don't get careless also in just pointing ourselves to Christ. You know, sometimes we think, unbelievers would think that your life is so easy. You know, it is easy for you to say Christ is great when you really don't know the quantity of my troubles, how crushed, how heartbroken I am, how life is quite a mess. Suppose suppose we go back to God's word and we see that this is applicable to the life of every other person in the Bible.
Sure.
You know, talk of Job's story. Man, this guy went through trouble. He even writes in Job 14:1 that the days of a man are full of trouble.
Wow.
You know, the days of a man born of a woman are full of trouble. And Paul, in his quest to tell the Gentiles about Christ, all the beatings, all the animosity that he went through, and they all crumbled down, and they're all heartbroken. It is infliction of pain. It is not good things, you know. It is not. It is hard.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard. But we see, we can identify with our problems. Mm-hmm. We can identify with the troubles of the psalmist. When King Saul is pursuing David, and he is after his life, and David has skived from him twice, and it is the third time, and he is still persisting, and is almost there, and he is giving up. When his son is after his own life because he wants to take the crown by force, and not pass it over to his brother King Solomon. It is troublesome for him, and he writes, "Where are you, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you? Why are you seated and you're looking at my enemies who are doing these things?" And just like the Israelites, you've said, "Where is the Lord? Why are you allowing us to go into exile when you are the Lord?" But something funny is, God's will can never be thwarted. If you're supposed to go to exile, you'll still go. But the same God who is able to provide and somehow just sustain his people is able to see them through such issues. And so, believer, non-believer, the Lord identifies with our troubles. The Lord identifies with our losses. Say you've lost a loved one. The Lord identifies with that. Scripture identifies with your scenario. The Lord understands what betrayal means. Scripture is really hell-bent towards what betrayal is, and the greatest betrayal, we don't do what is right before God. We are sinners, we are cast down, we are depraved, our hearts are self-seeking. And many things, we lack some needs, and we are vexed. I have loved the vexed word. And we don't know what our lives mean. We don't know what to do. So the Lord really identifies with us. And just as Steve has said, our inspiration is to run to Christ, because Christ will hold us fast. Outside of him there is no life, but in him there is life, and there is life in abundance.
Wow. Thank you for that. Charles Spurgeon writes and says, the Christian's joy needs looking after.
Wow.
Picking it from the book of 1 John chapter 1 verse 4, where it is written, we write this so that our joy may be made complete. That one of the apostles of Christ would write to inspire the churches, I believe it is in Ephesus, I'm not so sure, Ephesus or Galatia, in the book of 1 John, just to ensure that their joy would be made complete. Yeah, and so there are a number of scenarios that will make us question the presence of God. A number of scenarios that will make us question his very intentions, like the disciples. Don't you care that we are drowning? Before Christ comes and rebukes the storms and says, quiet, be still, before he turns back to the disciples and says, where is your faith? Where is your faith? So as much as the Lord may allow us to go through the myriad of trials, James similarly makes a very strange statement in James chapter 1. He says in verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. He did not specify which kind of trial you may face. It may be that of loss and bereavement. It may be that of a heartbreak, it may be that of unmet needs. You have desires, you have goals, your life demands a lot of things. Depending on where you are at, whatever trial it may be, maybe the finance bill has squashed you, you know? You're just looking at it and then you're like, hey, how am I to count it?
All joy.
You're sure all of it is joy. So as much as we may, in counting our problems on one side of the paper, draw a straight line and write adjacent to it, reflect the same and say, this is my problem, and yet this shall be my joy. Amen. This is my problem, this is my joy. This is my problem, and this is my joy. Some of us journal and say, these are my needs, but yet even from these needs, I will rejoice. Amen. Count it pure joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. What a beautiful truth.
Amen. What a beautiful truth, bro. I'm first reminded of Romans 8:28. All things happen for the good. Let me read New King James. And we know that all things work together for good and for those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Understanding that all things are pleasant and unpleasant, good and bad, sweet and bitter, but all happen for our good. For those who are called according to his purpose, you know, all of us, believers, are called according to the purpose of God. For the greater fulfillment of our hearts, but also for the greater joy of the Lord. For us to, you know, with the finance bill, literally you have to trust God's providence. It's not your little salary or your little stipend. It is trusting the providence of God. I am not sure whether this will be okay. I know this is going to strain me, but my hope is not in this. My hope is in the Lord, and he will provide our needs. But most importantly, he will do that to the glory of his name. And so understanding that even in the face of animosity, our object of worship is Christ, but also our inspiration is all these things will work for our good. God has a way of making exile work for the good of the Israelites. You know, they were first reminded of who God was, and the need for them now to just repent and go back to the ways of the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar had a way of reminding the Israelites who the Lord was, and such was the will of God, so that they may know who God is and they may worship the Lord for who he is. But also for the glory that awaits us through the tribulations and through the troubles. I'm reminded of Romans 13, Romans 12, 13. Romans 8, verses 18. Let me read from 18. For we consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits to be revealed to us in time. And so there's a greater longing. We are there but not yet there. You know, we're looking forward to a new Jerusalem. We're looking forward to a newer face where there'll be no sin and we'll be rejoined with our Creator. And we have to, a finishing power, we have to look forward to this every day. We are not yet home. We are not yet there. We are not yet there. And for that reason, then, the glory that awaits is greater. And so we shall move through the many things that God has planted. Yeah. And finally, that our sins are many. You know, our tribulations are because sin is there, you know. Shall go through exile because sin is there. The Israelites went through all this because you're living in a fallen world, a world that is far from heaven. But because our sins are more, his mercy is greater. And because of that, then we have a hope, we have a joy. Christ will preserve us, not because of what you are, Steve, not because of what Mark is or Stanley is or either of our listeners is, but because of who he is. And just relying on who he is enough courage and enough strength to pull us through.
We are often put in a place where we may doubt the very power and authority of God, so that we don't speak in a superficial sense. But we have been in that same boat with Christ, and we have questioned him. And so in every trial of our lives, there is definitely an opportunity for us to wonder and to question the identity, the might, the majesty, and the authority of Christ. Forgetting that Christ is a Lord of all things, we tend to question these things. And so back to Isaiah, now chapter 55, this book that was directed to the exiles through the prophet Isaiah, verse 1, God invites them in chapter 55 to sing, to shout for joy and to burst in song. And in chapter 55, verse 1, he invites them. He beckons them and says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend your money on what is not bread, your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you." The call to come and eat, to come and live, to come and find satisfaction. That is what he offers. The Maker, who is the husband of the exiles, God, offers the Israelites sustenance. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. I do not have it. Come, listen. Listen and eat. The sustenance of God. God is able to provide. And these are not mere words. This is the very word of God speaking into the very heart and to the very need of man. Elsewhere it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways like my ways." So you may be wondering, how will he do this and do that? His ways are not your ways. You look ahead and you cannot see the future. Or you cannot even see the end. But you serve a God who sees the end from the very beginning. Trusting God in the various circumstances of life. And not only trusting him, but rejoicing through them. Rejoicing in the wait, rejoicing in the pain, rejoicing in the seemingly unanswered prayers for family and for your academics and for every front or every area where you may be tested, where you may be tried.
Amen. Good stuff, Steve. Just waiting, you know, waiting on the Lord. Listeners, we have an episode on waiting on the Lord. Yes. You should really check it out. It's quite something. Steve, I'm a topo content. Waiting on the Lord every day. Sometimes we struggle with even waiting on the Lord. Mm. Waiting on the Lord is also a struggle. Also for the thought that his grace is evident, you know, Paul, I boast of my weaknesses because when I'm weak, Christ is strong. You know, his grace is evident when we are in a tumult, when we are in issues. Grace of God abounds, you know. Sins were many, but his grace abounded all the more, you know. I feel like I'm failing, but grace abounds all the more. My strength is almost fading, but grace will abound all the more. I feel like I'm losing it, but Christ will abound all the more. So knowing that the frivolity of our hearts is into depravity, into going down, but also the nature of God is He is mindful of us. You know, it is Psalms 8. Christ is mindful of us. You know, what is man that God, that you are mindful of, the Son of Man that you care? And understanding of, and a deeper understanding of His love for us and His motivation for everything He does is His glory, but also for our good, then we can come as we are because grace will abound all the more.
Psalm 126, verse 3. The Lord has done great things for us.
Amen.
And we are filled with joy.
Amen.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. So when we call to Him, He will answer us. And when we run to Him, He's able to draw near to us. So we can sing for joy to God, for He's our strength, He's our fortress, He's our mighty tower, a mighty fortress and strong tower. Yeah.
Amen. I'm reminded of a psalm, a psalm we love.
Yeah.
Psalms 90:14. Oh, satisfy us early in the morning with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
Amen.
Amen. And maybe Steve, after saying this to our listeners, now what is our response to the invitation? How do we come as we are? How do we run to Him?
Yeah, definitely. Our response to the invitation will have to be, we have to feed from the scriptures.
Yeah.
We have to rejoice in the doctrines that are found therein.
Yeah.
The doctrine of His mercy and of His love and of His grace. Isaiah 54, my reference chapter. Anytime I am asked a question, I'll just go to Isaiah 54. But this is Christ, no, rather this is God talking to the Israelites through Isaiah. It says, "For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back. In a surge of anger I hid my face for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have compassion on you." So our response primarily has to feed on the scriptures, that God is our Redeemer. He's able to bring us back, we who are bought at a price. The doctrine of grace, of how His love is everlasting, how His compassion is endless, how His love again is unconditional, how His mercies, how He is rich in mercy, rich in favor, rich in grace, has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Before you get to the end of the scriptures, your heart will be full of joy because you know whose you are.
Amen. Steve, I'm reminded of Psalm 77, where the psalmist is meditating upon him. Meditating upon the redemptive works of the Lord.
Sure.
And he is having issues. He cries to the Lord if the Lord would see him.
Yeah.
But then he goes back to God's word. He meditates upon the doing of old. Verses 12 of Psalm 77 says, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember your wonders of old. I will meditate upon the word of God." And understanding what He has done and what He will do then gives us the strength to move also. And also we go through trouble. Let us joyfully lament it before the Lord. Let us tell the Lord about our issues, knowing that also the Lord listens and the Lord will hear us. We shall find hope and strength in Him when we tell Him about our struggles. He will incline His ears to listen to us, and somehow our spirits will be uplifted, and we shall find hope in Him, and we shall find strength to move through life. Anything, Steve?
Yeah, I think just
just a reflection that oftentimes when this is in-house, but oftentimes when we record a podcast about a specific topic, in a way the Lord allows that situation to encompass either before or after. That we are here saying rejoice in the midst of storm. One way or another, our words are actually put to the test. Will you rejoice when you go through this sickness, when you cannot, when you do not know where you will find your next meal, who will pay for your fees, what will happen to your sick auntie or uncle? Will you still rejoice in the trivialities of this life?
Yeah.
And so as we tell you these things, as we tell you to rejoice, these are actually things we ourselves have gone through, are going through, or are about to go through. So these are real things. To those who are sick, to those who are in doubt, to those who are in need, financial or otherwise, to those who are in despair, rejoice. The Lord is good. Rejoice.
And then this is the place where we call people to faith. We are very glad that you could
touch your phone
and do something about it. We are glad that you could join us.
And we ask for offering, weren't we?
Steve is specifically talking about his financial needs. Rejoice in the Lord, and meditate upon his word. Maybe a parting shot would be, let us rekindle our hope and our strength in God, knowing that again it is the Lord who helps us. You know, it is Him who helps us, but also it is us to just get into His Word and see what He has for us. Find joy through local church, just the means of grace, prayer. Congregational singing, praying together and seeing what the Lord has, but also trusting in the Lord with all our hearts and leaning not in our own understanding. I want to share in the words of the mighty John Piper. He says, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for grace. Judge not the Lord in feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind frowning providence, He hides a smiley face.
Amen and amen. Thank you. I would also like to share from not a super apostle, but he called himself Paul. In Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always.
Again.
I will say it again.
Rejoice.
Thank you for listening, for tuning in to this episode. Go out and rejoice. Rejoice because of what the Lord has done. And rejoice because of who the Lord is. Thank you.
Oh, you barren, rejoice.
Yes, oh, you barren, rejoice.
Oh, you barren, rejoice. The Lord has you somewhere. And find hope in Him. Thank you for joining us. Steve, what do you tell our listeners?
Bye.